to the Extra Magic Hour, a Disney Parks podcast. Here are your hosts, Anne Ravanos and Dimitri Ravanos.
Welcome to another edition of the Extra Magic Hour. I am Dimitri.
And I'm Kat.
And Anne is supposed to be here, and we have no idea where she is, so we're getting started anyway. Sorry we missed last week, but we are back this week, and let's all just move on like nothing happened last Tuesday.
Sounds good.
What is in the news?
So our first news story is that Disney finally got permission to use drones for a nighttime show. Yay!
Did you see this made Weekend Update on Saturday Night Live this week?
No, I didn't.
Yeah.
I need to watch that episode because I heard it was hilarious.
It was pretty good. But yeah, I can't even remember what the joke was, but that was the first place I learned about it was on Saturday Night Live.
Oh my gosh. Well, I'm really excited. And I think they had a preview tonight, or was it the first? It might have been the first show tonight. I don't know. I only caught a glimpse of it because it was on one of the Facebook groups I'm on. But it seems kind of cool. I heard someone say they were a little bit underwhelmed, but I know it's holiday themed because they have all these drones and it turned into a Christmas tree or something. So it seems really cool. But I have a friend on Tumblr who was like, imagine them doing this at the parks. I see the light could be one of the scenes or something.
Yeah. Yeah, that is true. That would be that'd be very cool. Yeah. So what they have right now is happening at Disney Springs then, because I guess I saw this video too and didn't realize what I was looking at.
Yes.
Okay.
It's at Disney Springs, but so they have this permission from November 1st, 2016, which has obviously already passed, to November 30th, 2020. So it's 4 years. Yeah.
So is it just Florida or is it parks in California too?
It is, but it just says specifically Disney.
Okay.
So possibly.
All right. Okay. Interesting. Yeah. All right. What else is in the news?
Yeah. Disney's Boardwalk Resort is hosting a holiday charity event. It's called Gingerbread Academy, and you guests can decorate a gingerbread cookie for $8.95, and all proceeds from the cookie will go to Give Kids the World, which, if you guys don't know what Give Kids the World is, it's very similar to Make-A-Wish, where families who have a child with a life-threatening illness can come to the Disney parks, and also Universal does it as well, to visit for free. Like, the families don't have to pay anything and the kids don't have to pay anything. So it's really cool. You can also make a gingerbread house, and that's $125 for four guests. Yeah. Or you can decorate a cupcake, which is $10.95.
Okay. Well, very cool. Well, I think the Give Kids the World thing, correct me if I'm wrong, and maybe you don't have the information in front of you. Wasn't it started by Walmart, I think?
That sounds familiar. I feel like that could be right.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say yes.
This is also a place that does a lot to keep kids entertained while they're there, so there are a lot of costs associated with this place. That's really cool that Disney is pretty much giving up the boardwalk to them, because I think this is not the first year they've done this, right? I'm almost positive I've seen this before.
It doesn't say if this how many times they've done it before, but it wouldn't surprise me if they've been doing this for years.
Yeah, because I can picture the boardwalk sort of set up with the various stations around it. So it's very cool. And how long will that continue for?
It just says throughout the holiday season, so I would guess until like Christmas.
Yeah. Well, cool. That's probably a big moneymaker for Kids the World every year.
Well, and honestly, like $8.95 for a gingerbread cookie, I mean, it's still more expensive than like if you go to a bakery, but that's really not that bad.
No, it's really not, especially when you consider like the I hate to say the marquee gingerbread thing on property, but when people think about gingerbread cookies on Disney property, they probably think about the house inside of the Grand Floridian, the giant gingerbread house, and those are not cheap. Those are like $13 a cookie.
Wow. Yeah.
All right. What else do we have?
So Disney is actually offering something for free,
Ooh.
but you can only so they're offering a close-up look at Soarin' Around the World, but it is only for Disney Vacation Club members, which is unfortunate.
Wait, so what does that mean, though?
So it's a free tour that will be offered almost every Wednesday morning, and they get to like look at the fine details of what makes Soarin' Around the World. Like they get to go into the movie theater and kind of see how it works, I
Oh,
guess.
cool.
Yeah, like I think it would be really cool. And then they get to ride the ride with no wait.
Oh, awesome.
So, yeah.
I talked about this on the podcast when we first got back from our Disney cruise up to Alaska. In Vancouver, there is a pavilion called Canada Place, and inside they have a ride called I think it's called Flyover Canada, which is almost like almost shot for shot a knockoff of Soarin'. In fact, I think some of the creative team behind Soarin' developed this ride. And even though it is not like lights on, see what you do, the way you go into that theater, you kind of get a better appreciation for all of the technology involved in that ride than you do walking into Soarin'. Because, you know, in Soarin', everybody walks in the same entrance,
Yeah.
everything is just in a rows, and then you lift up here at this flyover Canada, you go in on different levels, so you can kind of see all of the just how much has to go right in order for this ride to be pulled off. It's very cool.
Yeah, it sounds really cool. And I think it'd be, I think, well, I want to become a Disney Vacation Club member specifically for this, but I think if you are a Disney Vacation Club member and you're down there, you should take advantage of this because I like knowing like behind the scenes stuff. Like I took
Sure.
the Keys to the Kingdom tour, and it's like it's really cool to like learn how some of the rides operate. So like I would eat this up.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that once you go down, or once you have been down as many times as we have been down, you start to look for those kind of experiences just to give you that added appreciation for attractions that you already like.
Yeah,
All right, what else do we have?
definitely. So our last story is our rumor.
Yes.
So Disney CEO Bob Iger, there was like a earnings call like last week. I'm not 100% sure how business works, so I don't know what that is. But Bob Iger hinted that more hotels could be on the way soon for both Disney World and Disneyland Resort, which. Cool about Disney World, like meh, but I think it's awesome about Disneyland because maybe they can have not just deluxe resorts, like how all three of those resorts are technically in the deluxe category. Maybe they can finally build something in value or moderate resort.
Is Disneyland Hotel considered a deluxe resort?
I would think so.
That's a gross deluxe.
Really?
Yeah, I mean that seems like more on par. I mean, the theming obviously is better at that hotel than some of the value resorts, but in terms of the accommodations, that's like value resort level.
Oh, really? Well, I just kind of base it on price,
Yeah, I
maybe.
mean, and that's the difference too, is Disney has to they really have to put a premium on what they have out there, because there are great cheap hotels walking distance from Disneyland. You don't
Right.
have that at Disney World.
Right.
That's so an earnings call is anybody that owns stock in the company is welcome to get on this conference call and hear what the CEO has to say. And I think there's an opportunity to submit questions if you so choose. And a lot of stuff tends to come out on these conference calls before they come out anywhere else. So this is cool and interesting. I mean, obviously the land is there to do it at Disney World. Disneyland, I think I read not too long ago that they had purchased they obviously they have some land that they can use to expand for the Marvel Universe coming to
Right.
California Adventure, but I think I read that they purchased one or two hotel properties that are already pretty close to Disneyland.
Okay, so then this could make sense.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it and what is right around Disneyland, it would make sense if it is a true value resort sort of thing that's coming.
Right. But so when I was going over these news stories with my husband, he was like, what hotel would you like to see at Disney World that's not there already? And I was like, that's a good question. I should ask Anne and Dimitri. Well, Anne's not here. So Dimitri, what would you do?
Okay. What I would do is something that I'm surprised Universal has not already done, which because you could charge a premium for it, which is extend the all immersive world into your stay. So when Hollywood Studios opens Star Wars Land, give me a Star Wars hotel where that environment you can literally be a part of 24 hours a day if you so choose. Where
that'd be interesting, yeah.
Your room, you can open doors using the Force and stuff like that. I think that would be a really cool thing. And then staff it with the creatures from Star Wars. I think that would be. That's the next level in terms of themed interactive accommodations.
Yeah, that does sound really cool. Mine is lame, but I was like, I would want a resort that's like, that looks kind of like a castle, and mm-hmm. each like building is themed to a different princess. And the reason I say it's lame is because you already have the Little Mermaid rooms at Art of Animation. Right. And then you also have, Tiana at Port Orleans, it's Riverside, right?
Riverside, yeah.
Yeah. And so I'm like, so, I mean, there's eight other princesses to go by. but I was like, but still, I'd love to be able to go into Beast Castle or Beauty and the Beast, but...
I think that if you sort of go back and look at some of the stuff that they have been kicking around ideas on for years but have never... built, I seem to recall that there is like a Mediterranean seaside resort that Imagineers have been kicking around for a while. I wonder if that's what's gonna come.
Oh, yeah. Well, and then my husband also said, I think he said like some sort of Asian, like India or something, mm-hmm. like something very immersive that they haven't done. Because, you know, they have Animal Kingdom Lodge, which is Africa.
Sure.
They have Wilderness Lodge, which is Alaska. Then you have all the values, which are very well-themed sports, music, movies, pop century.
It's interesting, too, that they haven't done something like that, a Far Eastern-themed hotel, just because they were coming off of a kick where every new restaurant they opened was themed that way.
Right.
I'm shocked they haven't done a hotel now that you bring that up.
Well, and see, when he said that, I was like, I wonder what Dimitri would say about that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that'd be awesome.
Yeah. Another one I thought of, which is kind of another kind of lame one because I'm not very creative, but something that's like all just the Fab Five, or like all just the original original Mickey Mouse characters.
See, I often thought that because it's what's the right word for it? Because it's sort of the one nobody wants to stay at of the All Stars. I've often thought they should retheme All Star movies in that way.
Yeah.
Where you give a building to each of the Fab Five, or maybe to four, and then Mickey Mouse is the main. Area. I don't think that's so crazy, especially, you know, if the rumors are true that the Great Movie Ride is going to become the Great Mickey Ride. It's interesting to me how little interaction there is outside of meeting those characters in the park.
See, and like, that's what, and one of the reasons I was like, well, that's kind of lame, because like, you're in Disney World. Do you really want to be immersed with Mickey and Minnie and Pluto and Goofy and Donald? And then I was like, I'd stay at that resort.
Yeah, I mean, especially like, think about families coming for their first trip with their kids.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that kind of be where you wanted to stay?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Especially one of the parents one of the kids' parents in my classroom, she was saying her son is obsessed with Mickey Mouse Clubhouse, and he's an infant, but still, like, imagine his face walking into that hotel.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I mean, look, there are kids from my age to your age, maybe even a little bit younger. You know, when we were little, there was no daily presence of Mickey Mouse, so to have something like the Art of Animation where you can walk through The Lion King or The Little Mermaid, I mean, that sort of satisfies that for our generation. But I think that as Mickey Mouse is becoming an everyday thing I think Mickey Mouse Clubhouse started maybe a year or two before my daughter was born. So those kids are getting into like 10 years old now.
Yeah.
I think that demand is going to be there.
I think so too. Plus, like, I mean, It was all started by a mouse. So why is he only at meet and greets? I mean, and he's in pictures too, but you know.
And see, and that's interesting. You throw that quote. It was all started by a mouse because there is also no sort of like old Hollywood themed hotel. And as that element of the studios disappears, that seems like a great idea to throw on property somewhere.
You know, and that's why Hollywood Studios used to be my favorite park too, is because you were entering Hollywood in Florida.
Right. I mean, and not Hollywood, Florida.
Right.
I think that's sort of the next level of what they have to do, particularly as they build, or if they're going to build, new deluxe resorts, is you can't just build great hotels, because now that they have that Four Seasons on property, I mean, nothing is going to really compare to that, right, in terms of quality. So you've got to up the experience a little bit. And if you do something, obviously my Star Wars idea is on the extreme end, but even if you did that old Hollywood hotel and put some of those streetmosphere characters around the hotel, you know, that's a whole new experience that they haven't had before outside the parks.
Right. Yeah.
All right. Very good. Well, Kat, we'll catch up with you with more news next week.
Okay. Bye. Hey, everyone. It's Kat. We all know planning a Walt Disney World vacation takes a lot of time and effort. You gotta choose a resort, book dining, and choose fast passes. Well, I want to take the stress out of your vacation. Book your vacation with me through Magical Travel, and your trip planning will become as easy as pie. I'll take care of all the fine details for you at no additional cost. What's great about it is that you won't have to wake up early to get those hard-to-book reservations like Be Our Guest or Cinderella's Royal Table. I'll do my best to make your vacation the most fun and relaxing it can be. Even better, when you book a trip with me, I'll throw in a Disney gift card for you. Email me for a free quote at katarina@magicaltravel.com. That's katarina at magicaltravel.com. P.S. I also do all other Disney affiliates, so if you want to venture outside of the world, I will be able to help you there too. So what are you waiting for? Let's make your next trip magical.
Hello, I'm Storybook Julius, the White Dragon Podcast Network's resident Canadian and the host of Storybook Radio, a Walt Disney World and Universal Studios podcast appearing every Wednesday here on WDPN. Walt Disney was a storyteller, and well, so am I. Now, I'm not saying that I'm as cool as Walt Disney or anything, but I'm saying that if you're looking for a unique take on the Walt Disney World and Universal Studios theme parks, with immersive looks at their stories, backstories, and histories, you've come to the right place. Head on over to iTunes, Stitcher, or Podomatic to subscribe to and download the Storybook Radio podcast each and every Wednesday. You can also check out www.storybookradio.com for more details and more content.
Hey, WDPN listeners, this is Allie Eibler from the Geek Watchtower. And as you know, we live in the golden age of geek culture. With all the movies, television shows, comic books, video games encompassing the world of geekdom, it can be a real chore to keep up with all of it. Well, here on the White Dragon Podcast Network, we have a little something called the Geek Watchtower. Kevin Kessler, Chris Doherty, and I run down the latest geek news items every Friday morning for you, before we focus on a fandom feature topic of the week. We're talking about everything from Batman to the Avengers, anime, Doctor Who, Disney, Nintendo, and so much more. So make sure you join Kevin, Chris, and I every Friday morning in the Geek Watchtower, where we monitor all the things that geeks watch. Find it on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and of course at WhiteDragonPodcastNetwork.com.
Oh, hey, look who decided to show up whenever she feels like it.
Dang, sorry.
Like, we started a certain time, man.
You said 9 o'clock. I thought you meant 9 o'clock my time. Okay?
Okay.
Deal. Sorry I'm popular and you're not. It's obvious you're jealous.
I'm not popular.
Yeah, I know. And now you're taking it out on me because you don't have any friends.
Shut up. I got my kids. They think
I'm awesome. Loser. L7 weenie.
Sounded like you just called me Lucifer.
Maybe I did.
Like the devil, who's awesome. All right, so the topic we came up with for today was companies that changed the way you experience Disney and Disney World. So this is sort of a weird topic, but I thought a fun one. And just think about the companies that have made your either trips to the park better or made your time in between trips a little more bearable. So we each came up with three. And do you want to give your first one?
No.
Oh, well, this is going to be a short segment then.
My first one, which I have talked about a couple times, is YouTube. This is the one I think when I'm feeling sad and missing the parks, this is kind of my go-to, just because I think it's a good way to bring the Disney community together. There's a lot of people who have made a living from putting up YouTube videos of them going to the park or just Disney-related things. And then Disney has taken full notice of this and how many followers that these people have. And they're granting these people access to, like, promo parties and all this type of stuff. And then they get to film things and show us behind-the-scenes type of stuff and everything. So that's kind of, I don't know, every time that I miss being at Disney World, I can kind of go on a YouTube binge and see the day at the park or what's happening, you know, right now.
The first one I'll give you, and this is by no means the most important one to me, but I do think it is very cool the way Etsy has made time away from the parks and being able to get what you really want, even if Disney does not make it available to you. I mean, for instance, a friend of mine has a Peter Pan's Flight t-shirt. Which, I mean, I think if you've listened to this show, you know how we feel about that stupid ride. But if that's a ride that you really love, I mean, that kind of thing is never going to exist in the park, right? But if you really love the parks and come up with an idea that is just different enough, like think about what Kevin and Pete did with the Sunny Eclipse shirt last year. You know, you probably are never going to make a fortune doing this kind of stuff, but you can create your own business that involves your love of Disney. I mean, you know, our friends over at Network 1901 also run the Modern Mouse Boutique, where they make unique ears and stuff like that. So people are always trying to come up with ways they can include Disney in their job, whether it's side job or full-time career, and that doesn't happen without something like Etsy.
I think Etsy is cool, too, because you can also find, like, vintage park merchandise on there as well that people are trying to get rid of. Like, the other day, you remember when was it McDonald's or Burger King for the 25th anniversary released the McDonald's. Four different glasses?
Yeah, the cube, like the four-sided, like, square glasses.
Yeah, somebody on Etsy was selling the whole set of those. I think it was, like, $25.
Because if I remember, they were like $8 a piece when they came out, so that's about what they were.
Oh, I don't remember having to pay for them. I thought they came with something.
No. You had to pay for them because they were glasses, and they weren't. It's not like they were the size of McDonald's regular Coke cups. No, they cost something.
Do we still have those?
You'd have to ask Mom. I know I don't have them.
Dang.
Did you just say tight?
No, I said dang.
Oh. But still, that would be pretty tight if she has them.
My next one
is Heelys.
Is what?
Heelys.
Heelys.
Heelys. You know, the shoes with roller skates hidden in them?
I shared up rollerblade at the park. I'm not a poser.
Dang, can you really rollerblade in the park?
I don't know, but we'll find out in February.
Yeah, I'm entering the half marathon on rollerblades. I was told this was cool.
My next one is going along the lines of social media platforms is Instagram. And I think it's kind of the same way like that I was describing YouTube. I think especially now with hashtags and everything like that, you can find like certain people within the Disney community that you want to connect with. And I don't know, I think it's a good way to just kind of bring everyone together when you're outside of the park so that you can, you know, just have that little piece of Disney with you all the time.
Interesting, sis. Interesting. Yeah. The social media phenomena overall obviously has changed the way that we do Disney. And again, I'll say, think about what Kevin does with Facebook Live. I mean, you can literally go to the park You could literally join in someone else's trip to the park, even if you're in, you know, North Carolina or Tennessee, like you are, wherever, whether it's Facebook Live or Periscope, Twitter going live. I mean, whatever it is, there are all kinds of ways to really kind of get that experience of walking down Main Street without having to do it anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the next one I will give you is kind of all encompassing, but you got to think about what all is possible at the parks now because of the prevalence of Apple. And whether that is, you know, they weren't the first smartphone. I mean, the first smartphone, I think technically is BlackBerry, but it was Apple that sort of revolutionized everything that a smartphone could do. Apple, even though they did not invent podcasting, they're the one that made it possible for it to become this mass appeal kind of thing. And obviously this show and shows like it don't exist without Apple. You know, it's weird as you're talking about, or as I'm talking about Apple, I kind of realize that just the invention of the internet alone completely changes the way you can experience the parks.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, to me, the podcast is the biggest thing because you have shows like this one that ask, you know, sort of big questions. You have shows like Two Men and a Mouse that is all about your travel log kind of stuff. You have shows that are specifically just soundtracks to rides at the park. So, you know, the Disney fan community, I think, through the iPhone and various, and, you know, iPod and various Apple products, found a way to, I guess the Disney community found a way to grow itself using all of this technology that now suddenly is in your hand wherever you go.
Would you consider, this is just, I mean, this has nothing to do with what you're talking about, but...
Okay, cool.
Would you consider New Balance to be something too?
First of all, we have to say New Balance, the official shoe of white people. I don't know if you saw that announcement earlier today.
No.
The KKK has deemed New Balance the official shoe of white people.
Nice.
Yeah, I think Run Disney couldn't be happier, really. No, I wouldn't say...
How can they do that?
Huh?
How can they do that?
I mean, they can say whatever they want. I mean, New Balance doesn't have to accept the designation.
Well, dang, I guess that's what we have to do now.
Well, guys, invite the KKK over for a celebration. I guess we're the official shoe of white people. No, I wouldn't say New Balance, because people went to the park in shoes before New Balance came along.
What? This is all news to me. I'm a straight up rollerblader, bro.
I mean, I hear what you're saying because of the way they got involved with Run Disney, and they made, you know, the Run Disney shoes are a collectible all onto themselves these days.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I don't know that I'd put New Balance up there because they're a collectible, but they're a collectible that such a small percentage of people that visit the park know about.
Okay, I feel that.
Cool.
Yeah.
What else do you have?
My last one, bro, I did this for you because it's your favorite store. Hot Topic.
Oh, dang, dude. That place is awesome.
I think Hot Topic in general has...
I mean, it is the stupidest store on the planet.
It's not... The Hot Topic that, like, we remember as teenagers, I guess, that's not what Hot Topic is anymore.
Sellouts.
Hot Topic has become a fandom store of, you know, there's a lot of, like, Harry Potter and Doctor Who and Pokemon and all this stuff, but there's also a huge, huge Disney section. And it's all, you know, exclusive to Hot Topic, and now that, you know, Disney bounding and stuff has become so popular, they have a bunch of stuff like that, and you can just get so many different type of Disney merchandise that, you know, I mean, I like park merchandise, but park merchandise, none of it is, it's just very generic, you know?
Sure.
Like, there's nothing super original or creative about a lot of their designs, where Hot Topic, they because they're not, you know, I guess, I mean, it is a Disney product, but they're not, I don't know, would you say they're not licensed, or?
No, they're licensed, I think but they are targeted to a very specific audience at Hot Topic.
So they make, you know, just kind of out of the box Disney merchandise, and it's they have so many different things. And I think it's kind of one, I mean, it's been great for the store because it's definitely bringing in different array of people, but two, for Disney fans, it's easy access to merchandise that, you know, you would probably wear outside of the park as well, you know?
Sis?
What?
I mean, I guess that's cool, but, like, they had to get rid of all those ICP t-shirts to make room for this garbage.
Bro, don't worry. Those are still on the wall in the back.
I mean, what does family even mean to these people?
Whoop whoop, ninja.
Family. Family.
I just want to see some sweet Neddins. That's all I'm looking for.
Hey, are killer clowns still a thing? Are they a thing in North Carolina?
Are what still a thing?
Killer clowns on the loose.
I mean, I never saw any.
There are some here in the neighborhood I was living in.
Dang.
I sent you that neighborhood email watch list, didn't I?
No.
Oh, yeah, we had a neighborhood email go out about killer clowns being sighted.
Cool. Did they kill anybody?
No, they were just called killer clowns.
Well, I mean, I would feel like if they killed somebody, they would have been arrested. And not but just, hey, everybody be aware of clowns.
They can't catch any of these clowns. Oh. They're sneaky.
It's because they all pile into that one tiny car.
Yeah.
All right, the last one I'll give is, maybe this one's a little bit cheating, but it seems pretty obvious to me that we don't get Star Wars Land if not for Harry Potter. So Universal obviously has a gigantic impact on Disney.
Boo.
You are boo.
Just kidding.
Oh, whew, thank goodness. But yeah, I mean, I think you're going to see this going forward with whatever the response happens to be to Volcano Bay. I mean, as long as the number two is constantly innovating, and I think they've announced they're going to get a Secret Life of Pets ride here real soon, and they're trying to put out a new ride each and every year. That's going to keep pushing. Hopefully that will keep pushing Disney to do bigger, better stuff. I mean, like I said, I don't think we get a Star Wars Land, at least not one as ambitious as they're going for, if not for the success of the Wizarding World of Harry Potter.
I feel that, bro.
Cool.
Yeah.
Anything else to say? Because this was a pretty short segment.
Well, no, I told you we should have made it longer by doing the other thing you wanted to do, but you don't listen to me.
What, the stuff?
Yeah.
Oh. Make them laugh, make them dance, make them sing. I thought that's what we were talking about.
Huh?
I thought we were going to sing songs to each other.
No.
Oh. Awkward.
Hey folks, Kevin Kessler from the White Dragon Podcast Network here. One of the questions I get asked all the time is, Kevin, I want to have a podcast, but I have no idea what I'm doing. I don't know anything about audio equipment. I don't know anything about editing. I don't know anything about how to post and promote a podcast. Well, folks, you are in luck, because what if I told you there is a way you can have your podcast with minimal effort from you and still be a part of the White Dragon Podcast Network, joining the family of 9 all-star podcasts that are already broadcasting 7 days a week here on WDPN. For a free consultation, please send an email to kevin@whitedragonpodcastnetwork.com, and I will tell you personally how we can take care of everything from the production to the editing to the posting to the server space to promotion of your podcast. I want to welcome you into the White Dragon Podcast Network family, so please drop me a line, kevin@whitedragonpodcastnetwork.com. I look forward to welcoming you into the White Dragon Podcast Network.
Hey guys, this is Corinne Chandler from Mousellaneous Discussions, the Disney television and movie talk show here on the White Dragon Podcast Network, reminding you that every Monday is Mousellaneous Monday on WDPN. Kate Smith, Kevin Kessler, and I pick a different Disney topic to discuss each week, ranging from top 5 lists to movie reviews to major announcements coming out of the Walt Disney Company. Then we close the show out with Kate's Disney Recipe of the Week, where she'll teach you how to make a variety of dishes only found in Walt Disney World, and I pose a trivia question to you all, meant to test your knowledge of all things Disney. So please tune in every Monday morning on iTunes, Stitcher, and WhiteDragonPodcastNetwork.com for a new and magical episode.
Nobody cares, Corinne.
Shut up, Kevin. I'm plugging your network.
Oh. Okay, keep going. I like your announcer voice.
Thank you. Nelsonius Discussions on WDPN. Come join us and let's get magical.
The Extra Magic Hour is just about over.
Aww.
But first, it's time for the glorious 3-hour finale.
All right, so before we wrap things up on this week's show, there's an article posted over at Theme Park Tourist that talks about how the rich and famous do Disney. Now, this article is mostly about the VIP tours that start at $2,800. I believe it's $400 an hour, and you have to book for 7 hours. So they start at $2,800 for these kinds of things. But I did want to talk a little bit with Anne, because Anne used to work at the Yacht Club, and whether you know it or not, whenever someone famous is at Disney, chances are Disney is putting them up at the Yacht Club, right?
Correct.
Do you want to explain on that any further, or are you good?
Just guess. Guess what happened.
I mean, like, were famous people there?
Yeah.
Oh.
Then what?
They went to the parks.
Oh my gosh, how do you know all of this?
Did you ever see someone, like, famous, that maybe someone that you thought was a bit of a hunk, walking through the Yacht Club in mouse ears or with a balloon?
Well, at the time they weren't famous yet, but when I worked down there, it was the year that the first High School Musical came out.
No way.
Yes way. And Zac Efron came into our restaurant about 3 or 4 times. All of them did, but I just remember, obviously, because he was like the lead guy and stuff, and he had on mouse ears.
You know, that guy seems like a real down-to-earth, cool dude.
He really does. I didn't see him in the hotel, but Johnny Depp stayed there, and we used to have to deliver food to him, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And we didn't even do breakfast, but we made it special for him. He didn't leave the room at all, though.
What a weirdo.
Yeah. And then the one that I was just telling you about, Mariah Carey came down, and she used to come down. From what I remember, I think it was just once a year. It could have been more than once a year, but I know for a fact at least once. She would fly down once a year just for that night to eat dinner at the steakhouse, and then would, like, after she was done, she'd go back to the airport and fly back home.
So she wouldn't even go to the parks or stay at the hotel?
No.
Crazy.
Yeah, so she would come down, I mean, with her whole crew and everything in tow. And at the steakhouse, we had one little private room that could be closed off. So that's where we would, you know, put her in there, and we would, like, close the windows off and close the door so no one knew she was ever there. But she would come in with a crew of about almost 20 people. And she would have two people that would sit next to her. One was her assistant. And then the other person that would sit next to her, his sole job was to just cut her steak for her. That was it. That's all he did.
When you told me that Mariah Carey had a personal meat cutter, I thought there was, like, some guy who only got called to come into work once a year because Mariah Carey is here, and Jeff, you got to come cut these steaks.
No, like, this was somebody that traveled with her, and so I'm assuming she does this at other places. And all he does is just cut her steak for her. That's it.
Do you know that I've read before part of the reason that people, when she first kind of became famous, had all these stories about how weird Ariana Grande was because she was emulating all these weird stories she had heard growing up about Mariah Carey?
Oh, really?
Yeah, so apparently Mariah Carey has quite the reputation for being a lunatic.
I mean, she was like... She was nice. It's just a very, like, all those really ridiculous stories you hear about her being, like, a diva and all that stuff. I mean, I guess when you have somebody that just cuts meat for you that is a little a little much.
So so she was nice. Did you ever deal with anybody that gave a little bit of attitude, or does Disney have a way of sort of making people drop their guard in that way?
I didn't. I can't really think of ever hearing stories about somebody that was rude or anything. I'm trying to think. No, I mean, no, because most people that I encountered were all very, very sweet. And a lot of them weren't, you know, super famous people. Like I said, Mariah Carey is probably the most famous, and Johnny Depp was there. Oh, Neil Patrick Harris and Gary Sinise, I got to meet them. But other than that, a lot of them were kind of like B and C grade actors or entertainers or whatever. I met Kirk Cameron. He Dang. Preached the gospel to me a little bit.
Well, yes, yes, I would hope he has. Have you heard the good news?
What?
Oh, that's usually what people that are about to tell you about Jesus say. Have you heard the good news?
Oh, he gave me a fake, it was one of the fake $1 million bills. And on it, I think I still have it. And on it, he wrote a little message to me about being thankful for the Lord and then signed it for me.
Who's on his $1 million bill?
I don't remember.
I mean, I feel like it should be Jesus, probably.
I don't think it was.
What? Having Jesus in your heart says is like having $1 million every day.
I don't think it was Jesus. But I do like that this, like, he carried this around.
Well, yeah, sis. You never know when you're going to get the chance to convert somebody.
But a fake $1 million bill?
Do you remember that he gave you a fake $1 million bill?
That's true.
Yeah, well then there, it did its job.
Dang.
Yeah, so when you're not in hell, you can thank Kirk Cameron and his $1 million bill.
What was his name on Growing Pains? Mike Seaver?
Mike Seaver.
What was his best friend's name? Boner?
Boner, yeah. I'm guessing that's probably when he decided all that stuff was wicked and he had to turn himself to the Lord.
Damn you, Boner!
Well, talk to you later, everybody.
Bye!